Let's look at some verses in the book of Romans, chapter 1, talking about this that will be a theme for us through the month of March that's going to be with us. You know, we're going to be moving into the month of March in just 7 more days. So I want to encourage you all to make this a matter of prayer as we just designate the month of March as an outreach month, an evangelism month, and ask the Lord to touch the lives of people through me and through you, that many will come to the Lord this coming month. So we're just designating it as a month for outreach, and I hope that all of you will take it to heart. And let me give you 3 suggestions as to how, at least 3 things that I would like to see us be able to accomplish. I already mentioned these visitation assignments. Assignments for prayer and to make contact with these individuals. So that's the first means that I hope that we'll be using, plan to be using, and make those assignments available on Wednesday night so that that assignment can be completed by the weekend. And so again, turn the names in of people that you want us to be praying for and you want us to be contacting them. And then number 2, we want to help out with Sister Sandy Abrams and Aaron and Jackie on these 2 routes, the bus and the van, and for throughout the month. I'm not asking you to make a year-long commitment, just asking you to commit to a team of people who can help them through the month of March in helping build those routes. With the bus and the van, there's no reason why that we couldn't be bringing 35, 40 or more people in on the buses on the weekend. But we need to add some manpower there on Saturdays or whatever time that would be available for different ones to just go out, invite people, and encourage children, young people, all ages to come. So that's means number 2 for the month of March, teams to help with these 2 routes. And then number 3, through the Sunday school, through the ministry of the Sunday school, providing some incentives and encouragement and a plan of action for the Sunday school classes for the month of March. Would you make that a matter of prayer? And of course, prayer will be a big part of this effort in the month of March. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you anything tonight that you probably aren't already very much aware of. This is just reminders from God's word as to our duty when it comes to evangelism, soul winning, the call of God, the responsibility that we have. And the first duty that we have to understand is that we are debtors. We're all debtors. Testimony tonight about our heritage. That heritage needs to be carried on with others. And generations that are to come, because we're all in debt. I'm in debt to Arlene's, looking into all these ancestry.com and looking into the past of all of our generations. And in my limited searching in that, there were more Southern Baptist preachers in the 1800s with the last name Corn than any other name. Baptist preachers. Of course, this is before the outpouring of Pentecost at the turn of the century. My grandmother was a Corn. Her last name was Corn. And she descended, and there are many family. More Southern Baptist preachers with the last name Corn than any other name. That's pretty incredible. It's pretty amazing. And I knew limitedly that I had some preachers back there 100 years ago or more. But little do we know of the prayers that were prayed 100 years ago or 150 years ago that were prayed for their children and their children's children and the generations that were to come. We don't know. We are all in debt. We're all in debt. Every one of us. We're in debt just because of the fact that one day you heard the gospel. And by whatever individual or whatever means that the gospel came to you, if it was by radio or by a preacher who, you know, preaching to you or through a personal witness of someone, all of us are in debt because we have heard the gospel and we have known about the saving power of God. No man lives to himself. We're all in debt, aren't we? We're all in debt to people that are in need. And it's a selfish thing to only think about yourself and your life and your needs and your problems and to not recognize that you are spiritually in debt to a lot of people. You owe men and women of God who have taught you and have encouraged you and have blessed your life over the years. All of us are in debt. We're in debt. I'm in debt to preachers. I'm in debt to pastors. I'm in debt to other spiritual leaders and people who've influenced me. I'm in debt to people who've prayed for me down through the years. We're all in debt, aren't we? Every one of us are in debt. Remember the story of the siege of Samaria and that the Syrians had laid siege against the Samaritans. And as a result, everybody inside the wall they were all dying because there was no food. There was no, whenever an army would lay siege against a city, the whole purpose was to confine them and to keep them from ever being able to go out, to stop any goods or supplies from being able to go in and out of the wall. And that's exactly what was happening in this siege of Samaria. It got so bad that they were even debating over whether or not they should, you know, even kill and eat their own children. There were four men who were lepers outside of the city wall. Now, these were the least likely to have any faith or confidence in anything good could ever come to them. But they just decided, well, we can't go into the city. We're not allowed into the city. And here we are. We're just, you know, if we just sit here, we're going to die. And so they said, we're going to go and throw ourselves on the mercy of the Syrian army. And that's exactly what they do. But God was working and moving in that situation and had already worked in such a way that the Syrians thought they heard the armies of their enemies coming against them. And so they fled the camp. So when those four lepers got into the camp, it was empty. Nobody was there. The only thing that was left was the food that was cooking and all the goods and all the wealth and the riches and everything, all their gold and silver, everything, all the wealth of that whole army was left behind. And those four lepers, I don't know what they were doing, but I could imagine they were starving to death. So the first thing they did was they started diving into the food and they were eating and they were starting to fill their pockets with goods and collecting and saying, this is wonderful. All this, look at what all these wonderful things that we have. But then they said, finally they had an awakening. They said, we don't do well. We're not doing the right thing. Because we have gotten all of these goods and all of these blessings. And there are all of those that are still inside that wall that they need help. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And that's what they did. That's the responsibility that we have. Because we have been blessed with so much, We are in debt, spiritually in debt to so many people. Paul said to the Greeks, to the barbarians, and that was really what he was doing. He was describing the different classes of people, the Greeks who were the intellectuals and had plenty, and they would be considered a higher class of people. The barbarians were the total opposite end of on the scale of the value of humankind, the barbarians. That's why he said, I'm in debt to the rich and those that have everything that privilege would bring to them, and I'm also in debt to the barbarians, to the thieves and the lowest people of society. That's the ones we are in debt to. That's what the Apostle Paul said. We are debtors to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, also to the Greek. It is the power. That's the answer. That's the solution. What do they need to hear? They need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that message is a life-changing message. Amen. It can change lives. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. You're in debt to your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones and everyone that you come in contact with that isn't saved. We are in debt to them. Amen. We owe the good news to the world that's around us. Everywhere you look, we're in debt to them. The second thing about this duty of evangelism is that you can't ignore the fact that this was the last command of Jesus Christ. These were the last words of Jesus. The Great Commission, just before he ascended into heaven. It was important. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our duty, because it is the last command of our Lord. He commanded us, all of us, all inclusive, not just to the preachers, not just to the people who are good talkers, not to just those who have the gift of evangelism. We all are included in that company of people who have received the Great Commission of our Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every one of us in preaching in this context is not just to those who stand in a pulpit to preach the gospel. To every one of us who are proclaimers of the good news, we are preachers of the gospel. Amen. Every one of us, wherever you might be, is the last command of the Lord. So it is our duty, our calling, our responsibility. Amen, to be used of the Lord. And you know, I understand that we're in the body of Christ, and some people some would be more prone to just be the person that prays for the lost or that gives to the evangelism cause or encourages other people or serves in some capacity. But that don't get you off the hook. It doesn't get you off the hook. You are called of God. Amen. You are called of God to carry the gospel to people that are in need. Amen. And really, it starts at home. It starts in your own life. It starts with those that are closest to you in proximity as far as your community and your home area. That's where it all begins. That's the proving ground. I know of people who've said, you know, I feel called to go to Africa or to go to some foreign country, but they're not even involved in outreach or evangelism or soul winning right where they are. You have to start where you are right now, tomorrow, on your job, or wherever that God opens the door, that you're that person. You're obeying the commandment of the Lord. Remember that demoniac of Gadara? After that man was so transformed and so set free from those demon powers, that man came when Jesus was leaving. That man comes and wants, you know, he pleads with the Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. But the Lord says, no, you go home. You go home. You go back to your family. You go back to your own. And you carry the gospel to all of them. Go to your home and to your friends and to those that are familiar with you. That's the command of the Lord. Another means of our evangelism is that we, since we are born again, then we are spiritually alive. And if you are spiritually alive, then there should be fruit in your life. Bearing fruit in your life. And I know that that fruit is demonstrated in a lot of different things, in a lot of different ways, but it includes the fact that we are reaching people and that we are bringing sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. Fruit bearers, John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Have you looked around at your own life? Have you done a personal examination? Been doing that a little bit the last couple of days. Because I know that I can't challenge you to bear fruit. I can't challenge you to win souls unless I'm demonstrating that in my own life. What we need to be doing is a living example of what God has called us to do, to bear fruit. Amen. Call of God. The Great Commission, the command of our Lord to bear fruit and to look at the Scripture. For those of you that listen to Brother Huff's preaching on Sunday morning, Marty and I had a conversation a couple of days ago about it because Brother Huff started his Sunday morning message, and I've heard him say this a lot of different times. He had his little sayings. And one of the things that he would say sometimes, he would say this statement, to those of you who are Bible readers. And Marty said he was insinuating that most of us weren't. He was concerned that most of us were not. But he would say, to those of you that are Bible readers, and then he would go into the text and go through the description of the Scripture. The Bible is the pattern, isn't it? It's the pattern. And you're ignoring the New Testament. You're ignoring the whole message of the Bible if you are not going to follow the pattern. You can't read the book of Acts without noticing that there was this drive in that first century church. What they were doing, they were going house to house. They were preaching the gospel. They were sons and daughters were being born. The Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And even in the persecution that they faced, they were dispersed. And all of that was a part of the plan of God too. Because they were going into places that they would have never normally chosen to take the gospel. But because of the persecution, the pressure was on. And so they spread into all kinds of far-flung places, and the gospel went there too. It is all a part of the plan of God. You read the Scripture. If you're a Bible reader, you will notice that this is a continuing theme all throughout the Scripture, that they were going from house to house, that the gospel was being preached and declared by everyone, and the church was added to as a result of that. Another element of this, and that is, it's not going to be effective at all. Our witness is not going to be effective if we're missing two important ingredients. Number one is love. Love. And it has to start with how much you love the Lord. Do you really love the Lord? And as to the degree that you love the Lord, you're also going to take on His nature, and you're going to love. You're going to be concerned about people. that are lost. Remember when the Apostle Paul was delayed and he was there waiting at... You'll come to me here in a minute. I'm having a senior moment. What was the big city? He was waiting. And the place where his heart was stirred within him. He saw all their idolatry. What's wrong with me? There you go. Athens. His heart was stirred within him. I mean, he's just there, and it's not really the plan, his plan to be there. But as he sees all the idolatry, and he sees all that's the people that are so bound in their sin in Athens, he is stirred in his spirit. That was love. He cared about people. He was concerned about people in their need. And really, that's the whole basis of any service or any ministry that we have, is how much do you love the Lord? How much do you really love Him? And when you deepen your love and your fellowship with the Lord, then you're going to care more and more and more about people that are lost in their sin. Amen. Amen. One last thing about evangelism. There's a lot more to be said about it, but one last thing that I want to talk about, and that is the importance of being filled with the Spirit. The importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. That, you know, we don't even have the words, and I want to just to say, I don't want to make these visitation assignments just routine. Because it may be that whenever I come to you and say, will you go see this person or will you pray for this person, that there's already somebody else that's on your heart that you're praying for. And so I don't want the assignments just to be just random. But if you have someone that is really, that the Lord is leading you to them and you're praying for them, then we want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. To be led of the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. That's how he started his ministry. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and there he was tested and tried and fasted for 40 days. He came out of that experience in the power of the Spirit, led of the Spirit in, brought out of that experience in the power of the Spirit, and then started his earthly ministry. Anointed of God, anointed of the Spirit of God. So any effort to reach the lost is never going to succeed if we don't truly love people and we are not empowered and led of the Spirit of God to get it accomplished. Amen. Amen. There's so many wonderful promises about the work of the Spirit of God. Even God by His Spirit giving you the words to say. Giving you a door of utterance, giving you exactly what you should speak and how you should speak it. Let me tell you that the working of the Holy Ghost in our life can also direct us to say what needs to be said. It's not just something that we've learned or a routine that we want to offer to people, but to be led of the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit so that the words that need to be spoken will be spoken. And then Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power. Power. That power of the Spirit, coupled with the power of the message of the gospel, it will penetrate. It will touch the lives of people. They will be affected by it. Now some, they may consider it, think about it for a long, long time. But I think we need to have faith in God's word. That if you are Spirit-filled and enjoying the power of the Spirit of God in your life, that united with the message, the purity of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you can have faith and assurance that whenever you speak those words, that they are having an effect. Amen. They are going to have an effect upon the lives of people. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. A lot of people have suggested that that was describing the pattern for evangelists. Jerusalem is the hub. It's spreading out to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, expanding. Amen. So we are to be involved in affecting our city for the gospel, affecting our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the call of God that we have. I hope that you'll pray with me about this. You'll take this to heart and be used of the Lord in ways that you have maybe have never been used before, to encourage people, to talk to people about the Lord. There are some people that if you don't come into their life, they may not hear the gospel. Amen. Now, the Lord can give you opportunities. Yesterday, a young man knocked on our door. I thought it was one of Zach's old friends, but it really wasn't. He lives across the street and told me about his problem and that he needed to have time. And because of some of his problems that he's had, he needed to have some time. I need to talk to a pastor. I'm supposed to counsel with a pastor. Would you be willing to do that with me? Sure I would. Sure I would. An opportunity. An open door. Talk to a young man that needs help from God in his life. And God gives an opportunity. And He will. If you want to be used of the Lord, if you want to have an influence on somebody, God will give you an opportunity. Amen. He'll give you an opportunity. Don't use this as an excuse. I don't know anybody that's unsaved. Well, you need to meet a few unsaved people then. I'm not suggesting that they become your best bosom friend. I'm just saying you need to be out there and involved in the lives of people and meet a few people that you can influence for the Lord. Amen. Because they're out there. They are in this community and they need the Lord. Let the Lord use you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you because of the call of God that is upon every one of us, every person, every man and woman. We all, Lord, accept that this is the call of God for our life. So, Lord, I just pray, would you stir us just like the Apostle Paul was stirred there in that city that was so filled with idolatry. Lord, that we would not ignore people in their need, but when we see the great spiritual bondage in the lives of people, Lord, that we would be stirred by that. We would be stirred by their need, and we'd be willing to do something to help them, to minister to them, to encourage them. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Glory to God. Believe in the potential and the power of the gospel. Amen. To you, it's a familiar message because you've known and heard the gospel all of your life. But to a lot of people, it's like water to people who are in a dry and a thirsty land. To tell them about the peace and the forgiveness and the eternal hope that they can have through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a wonderful thing to have something placed into your hands. The Apostle Paul called it a dispensation of the gospel has been given to us. Placed into our hands. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Well, I pray that over these next few weeks, you'll become actively involved in reaching people. Amen. And I want to encourage you to start with one person. Just start with one. We get overwhelmed by the big picture when I say that there's probably half of the population of Laurel County that don't go to church. That overwhelms you. It overwhelms me. I'm talking about one person. Let the Lord put one person on your heart. And you start pursuing them. You start praying for them. You start looking for ways that you can help them and encourage them and bless them. Amen. Be His hand extended in the life of that one individual. You don't know. You don't have any idea of the potential and the power of just reaching one person. Amen. For the Lord. Well, let's get after Him. Let's get after Him. Let's be led of the Spirit. Be used of the Lord. Can we see?